This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In Delphi, Indiana, the search for justice in the tragic murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German has reached a conclusion. Richard Allen has been sentenced to 130 years in prison. But even as the courtroom doors close, a sense of unease persists. This isn't a simple story of a crime solved and justice delivered. This is a story riddled with questions, a narrative where the defense argues that the evidence was circumstantial at best, and the conduct of the trial, they allege, raises serious concerns about fairness. Was this a just verdict, or was it a consequence of a case built on shaky foundations and presided over in a manner that, according to the defense, tipped the scales of justice? On this broadcast, we examine the Richard Allen case, focusing on the defense's claims of a flawed investigation, weak evidence, and a trial process they believe was fundamentally unfair. We'll delve into the specifics of their arguments, exploring the doubts they cast on the prosecution's case and the questions they raise about the integrity of the proceedings. 130 years. A life sentence, effectively, for Richard Allen. The courtroom was filled with emotion as the sentence was handed down, but the defense's persistent claims of injustice hung heavy in the air. They argued that the judge's conduct throughout the trial demonstrated a clear bias impacting their ability to present a robust defense. They asserted that crucial evidence was given undue weight, while other potential avenues of investigation were seemingly ignored. This wasn't simply a disagreement about the interpretation of evidence. It was a fundamental challenge to the fairness of the entire process. The defense's narrative paints a picture of a trial where the deck was stacked against their client from the outset. They pointed to specific rulings by the judge, alleging that they consistently favored the prosecution and hindered their ability to properly defend Allen. The prosecution naturally presented a contrasting view, arguing that the trial was conducted fairly and that the evidence overwhelmingly pointed to Allen's guilt. But the defense's persistent objections and their claims of unfair treatment cannot be easily dismissed. The prosecution's case hinged in part on a bullet cartridge found near the bodies of Abby and Libby. This piece of evidence, dubbed the magic bullet by some, was presented as a crucial link between Allen and the crime. But the defense vehemently contested this interpretation. They argued that the ballistics evidence was far from conclusive, questioning the methods used to analyze it and suggesting that it did not definitively tie Allen to the scene. They argued that the focus on this single piece of evidence created a tunnel vision effect, leading investigators to prematurely focus on Allen and overlook other potential leads. The defense asserted that the magic bullet became a convenient narrative, overshadowing other crucial questions and leading to a rush to judgment. They argued that the prosecution presented the bullet cartridge as irrefutable proof, when in reality, they contended, it was just one piece of a much larger and far more ambiguous puzzle. They suggested that the weight given to this one piece of evidence was disproportionate, serving to sway public opinion and influence the jury's perception of the case. Perhaps the most contentious aspect of the case revolves around Richard Allen's confessions. The defense argued that these confessions were not freely given, but were coerced due to the harsh conditions of Allen's pretrial detention. They described his time in solitary confinement as a form of torture, detailing the isolation and psychological pressure he endured. They argued that this isolation, coupled with Allen's alleged pre-existing mental health conditions, led to a mental breakdown, making him susceptible to suggestion and ultimately resulting in confessions that were not truthful or voluntary. They argued that Allen was a broken man, driven to confess not by guilt, but by a desperate desire to escape the unbearable conditions of his confinement. This raises a fundamental question about the admissibility and reliability of confessions obtained under such circumstances. Did the conditions of Allen's confinement violate his rights? Did they compromise the integrity of his confessions? The prosecution, of course, maintained that the confessions were freely given and admissible. But the defense's detailed accounts of Allen's pretrial treatment cast a dark shadow over this crucial element of the prosecution's case. Beyond the specific evidence and the circumstances of the confession, the defense also raised broader concerns about the conduct of the trial itself. They alleged that the judge demonstrated a clear bias in favor of the prosecution, making rulings that consistently hampered their ability to present their case effectively. They suggested that this alleged bias created an uneven playing field, making it difficult for the jury to objectively assess the evidence. The defense also pointed to the lack of exploration of other potential leads, suggesting that the investigation prematurely focused on Allen, ignoring other possibilities. They argued that the intense public pressure to solve this high-profile case led to a rush to judgment, compromising the thoroughness and objectivity of the investigation. These are serious accusations, and while the prosecution vehemently denies them, they raise profound questions about the fairness and impartiality of the judicial process in this case. The Richard Allen case is a tragedy etched in doubt. Two young lives were lost, a community was devastated, and now a man will spend the rest of his life in prison. But the questions surrounding the case remain. Did the weight of public pressure and the desire for a swift resolution overshadow the principles of due process? Was the evidence truly as strong as the prosecution claimed? And did the conduct of the trial itself ensure a fair and impartial hearing? These are questions that continue to linger, casting a long shadow over the verdict. While the legal process has run its course, the debate surrounding the fairness and justness of this case is far from over. It serves as a stark reminder of the complexities of the justice system and the importance of ensuring that every defendant, regardless of the severity of the alleged crime, receives a fair trial.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.